death is part of the whole system of death, which grows out of the culture of death, and it's to the people who are susceptible to this are especially the people who are unconscious, the people who are very young, the people who are vulnerable because they have illness, the goal and objective is to do things that makes them so that they get off the earth quicker, but along the way, the goal and objective is to do things like get their organs so that they can make it better for the rest of the people who are on earth and stronger. And they have a claim on their organs when, in fact, the organs belong to each person, and each person should have a claim on them. But they have no way to defend themselves, as Brandon, when he was unconscious, he had no way to defend and protect his organs, and the people around him did not know what was happening. Yes,
sure.
Bernice finds out later, and yes, she suffers every day, and every mom that I deal with that finds out what happens, they suffer for the rest of their life, because they know that their son was dissected alive, and his organs were cut out while he was living. And when the moms realize this, it's such that they can't get over it, and they carry it with them the rest of their life. And yes, Deanna, we're grateful to you because you help us to tell other people about it. And yes, people do need to find out about it. They do need to know, don't sign up to be an organ donor. They need to carry it with them, the opt-out cards that we provide for them. And it isn't that we don't care about people who have severe illness that someone's trying to get an organ for, but we just don't believe that you should be killing people to get organs, and we don't believe you should be making them weaker to get organs for someone else.
Right, and that's the thing, the misconception that people have. The majority of the people believe that organs are taken from dead people and then used to help the living. Organs cannot be taken from a dead person because they are not viable. They have to be taken from a living, breathing person.
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely correct. And things like the ventilator, and the correct term is ventilator, it's sometimes called a respirator. It's the same machine, but the only thing the machine does is it ventilates. It just pushes air in, and it can only work when the tissues of the lungs and the chest are well enough that they can expand, and the heart has to be circulating, and it only works when the person is alive. A ventilator will not do anything to a corpse or a cadaver. Even if you put so much pressure on, it would make somehow or another the lungs and chest get bigger, just a tiny bit bigger. It does not have the elastic properties necessary to push the air out. Every person that's on a ventilator, the ventilator is only pushing the air in. It doesn't take it out. It's the living person that pushes the air out. And the ventilator only works when someone is alive, and it is indication that someone is alive. So that if the ventilator is working as it was in Brandon, Bernice points out very clearly, Brandon was breathing on his own, but part of the treatment is to put them on the ventilator, but Brandon resisted so much he had to be paralyzed and tranquilized and narcotized in order to intubate him, in order to keep doing the treatment that they wanted to do on him to get his organs.
Well, I think it's pretty shocking. I feel so bad for that woman. She talks about the emotional trauma, and you know, I worked in ICU for many years. I worked in the emergency room for many years, and I did come in contact with the families under these kind of situations and circumstances. because I was doing this on a daily basis, and I had never myself personally gone through anything that traumatic, I was kind and patient, but I honestly didn't really understand, and it's probably true of all people in the medical profession, I didn't really understand when you're called to the emergency department and are told that your loved one could die or is dying or is seriously injured and being resuscitated or something. I never knew emotionally how that would feel, even though I was kind. You could see that they were stunned, but you couldn't really understand how they felt. But you didn't know that you didn't understand. I think that's kind of the best way to explain it. Until it happens to you. And when it happened to me, I was blown away. It felt surreal. It felt so horrifically scary that you almost didn't want to, you just didn't want to talk. You didn't know how to think. You're sort of relying that perhaps the people around you might be a little bit protective of you. It absolutely, I can't think of a better phrase. It blows your mind because the emotions come so strong, and there you are attempting to make potentially some of the most important decisions you'll ever be asked to make. To me, it's hideous that this is allowed to go on. And she talked about the woman who stayed with her, who she initially thought worked for the hospital. Now, to hold someone's hand and give them support in this condition would make all the sense in the world. However, when you look at the protocol, you realize that that was a procurement liaison. That woman was not there to give comfort, I mean, giving her water for God's sakes. She was there to make sure things went smooth with the family. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Dr. Byrne knows this, but I haven't listened to everything he's said, and I haven't had a chance to read everything he's written. However, the child was 16. The child was not emancipated. It didn't matter what was on the child's driver's license. If the parents were there, the parents can be reached reasonably, and that's what the statute says pretty much in every state. If the parents are there, they have the authority to stop it. They have the authority to overrule that donation if it was made by an unemancipated child, which this Brandon was. He was not. So she really had the power to stop it. When her husband said, "Do everything you can," that should have been interpreted as, okay, that's it. They're not giving us permission to take his organs. But when you look at the statutes and the way it's written, they make it very difficult to on the scene, right there on the scene, understand how to stop it, how to say no. It is doable, but it is not easy if you haven't read the protocol. The protocol was written by a bunch of lawyers, okay, and it had nothing to do with emotional trauma of the parents. So this thing kept rolling forward, even though Bernice and her husband had the ability to stop it. Her husband, in my opinion, when he said do everything you can, the neurosurgeon, the neurosurgery department, the case should have been turned over to them, and the surgeons that do organ extractions should have been put on hold and told to go away till further notice. However, that did not happen. This whole definition of brain death is so nebulous, it's ridiculous. And when it said that there was an ad hoc Harvard committee, you know, we all think, okay, geez, a Harvard committee, that must be pretty good. I'd like to see who on the committee, what was their jobs? What did they do for a living? Were they all were they a group of neurosurgeons and neurologists who had taken care of many, many, many brain trauma injuries? I suspect they were not, okay? I suspect they were not. And that's what is done in these committees. When they want an outcome, they invite the players. The players are invited based on whether or not it's likely that they will help them reach their conclusion or they won't. That's called the Delphi technique. That's how they come to these consensuses. They have managed to manipulate us, and they invite to these committee meetings or these gatherings where decisions are going to be made, group decisions. A group is making a decision. In general, it's putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, who was on that committee? Were there ethicists? There should have been nobody but doctors, okay? Were there social workers? Were there nurses? I mean, for gosh sakes, it should have been a decision based on the neurological status of the brain and done by those who have seen people with serious brain injuries recover. I have to say, there is a program on TV. It's called The Last Alaskan. And one, it's about these families that live up in the National Wildlife Reserve in Alaska. And they live pretty much primitive lifestyles. There's about five of them that they follow in that show, and they go from different family to different family, and they interview them, and they, you know, talk about how they stay alive and what survivalism is up there. One of them is a man, and he recently died this year, by the name of Bob Hart, and he lives alone in a cabin up there on the reserve, the wildlife reserve. Very remote, and just loved it. But he has a daughter that has been on the show a couple times. Her name is Talisha, and he said she was hit by a car. She was a firefighter, and she was physically hit by a car, suffered a severe head injury. And at one point in the show, they interviewed her mother, who explained this injury and recovery. And her mother told the cameraman that she was told that she would never wake up. Now, you would consider that a permanent coma. Well, she woke up. She was told she would never talk. Well, she started talking. She was told she would never walk again. She's now walking. Yes, it took her a couple of years to recover, but she recovered. She smiles. She makes sense. She talks. She enjoys life. Is she, you know, walking completely normally? No, her injuries were very severe. Is she able to do complex computations? Maybe not, but there's no question she's enjoying her life, and there's no question that her family, her mother and father, are very happy she's alive. So the question always remains, they're saying these things are irreversible. They've said people are irreversibly injured or ill so many times, and amazingly, they recovered. It happened in my family. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know that they've been told, well, you're going to die, or your loved one's going to die. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't occur. So this whole idea of this fast-tracking a diagnosis of brain death so you can rapidly move into organ extraction is, in my opinion, completely insane. And I would love to hear a group of neurologists who have seen many of their patients recover talk about how crazy this is and explain how difficult it is to sometimes predict who will recover and who won't, particularly in the acute stage. And that's what happened to my family member. In the acute stage, it didn't look very good. Time went by, and every day got better. So I just wanted people to listen to that woman's story, and I want people to understand that those parents did have the authority, the legal authority, to have stopped that. I believe that's why they pushed so hard to convince them that it was hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, so that they didn't exercise that legal authority and bring that whole thing to a stop. It does seem unfortunate that they didn't demand. Now, I haven't talked to the woman. I haven't talked to Paul Byrne about this. Paul Byrne, it seems unfortunate that they didn't demand the child be turned over to a neurosurgeon's care and taken out of the trauma surgeon or the transplant surgeon's care. That, to me, seems like a big mistake. But I can't answer for what happened, and I'm certainly not going to judge that woman. However, he does talk about having this wallet card, Dr. Paul Byrne, and I have seen it on his website. And after reading all the statutes, I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a bad idea. But, you know, if you're picked up on an injury on the street, and that's where my family member was, you know, out in the world, and all of a sudden the ambulance swoops in and takes him to the emergency department. I know they look for the driver's license, and I know they look for the medical card. I'm not sure that they look any further than that. If you had a piece of paper or a different card all folded up in your wallet, I'm not entirely sure they're going to see it. So when I found out that my daughter has, she has on her driver's license that she's an organ donor, I was able to locate by going online and figuring out that in Ohio, okay, you have a form that you fill out and you get yourself removed from the registry, the donor registry. That's what they check. They check the Bureau of Motor Vehicles donor registry. All these procurement organizations have access to that. It's real important that you get your name off that registry. In Ohio, there's a form they want you to fill out. I found the form. I gave it to my daughter. I told her to fill it out, mail it in. And in a week, we're going to go back to the registry to ensure, make absolutely sure she was removed. I think that's a step that he hasn't been talking about that I haven't heard. Now, he could be, and I wouldn't know. So you have to get yourself removed from the donor registry, and you have to be persistent. If it's your son or daughter that's on that donor registry, you have to explain, you know, there's a real risk with organ donor program. We have one case where the child could have been saved and was not, was sacrificed instead. And you know what, folks? One case is all I need to bring the program down. It's all I need. He cited three cases. All I needed was one. And I would never, ever participate. And I'm going to do everything I can to tell people these guys are not ethical. They're not moral. They're in it for the money. And at any given time, any patient should be able to change their mind. You should be able to change the mind. If your husband said yes, you should be able to say no. If your adult child said yes, you should be able to say no. Any family member should be able to say no. It should be easy to say no. But instead, those group of lawyers who created the revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act went out of their way to make it difficult to change your mind. Something that is said when you're getting your driver's license so casually, do you want to be an organ donor? Not revealing any of the details. Nothing. No discussion about brain death. Nothing. And Deanna was absolutely right. Most people think, well, if I'm dead, I guess I don't care if they use my organs. Nobody thinks that they're going to be have their organs excised while they're still alive. Okay, stay tuned.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Al Whitney. You're listening to In Defense of Humanity. We've been talking tonight about organ transplantation. We were listening to an interview that Deanna Spangola did. I believe it was in 2016. She did an excellent job, as always. And we're talking a little bit about the legal ramifications of this. How do you get out of this? Once you realize that they don't put neurologists in charge of the diagnosis of brain dead or irreversible coma. If you look at that closely, you will see that this is being done by trauma doctors. Trauma doctors, believe it or not, are not familiar with much that happens to the patient after they leave the ICU. And I had that with my family member. The trauma doctor who saw him, got him through to the resuscitation, so he got transported to ICU. He got better. He showed up 3 weeks later, and at the time he told the family he wasn't sure how well his brain was going to function because he'd been hypoxemic or lack of oxygen for a extended period of time. Like 3 weeks later, another situation happened. He showed up back in the emergency room, got the same doctor. And the doctor came in and was just amazed, called him by his name. They had an intelligent conversation. And I could see that up until that point, he did not know what happened to that patient. And he was glad to see he was doing so well, walking, talking, making sense, eating. He was just thrilled. It made his day. I'm pretty sure it made his day, because a lot of resuscitations, they leave the emergency department and they don't survive. I think I mentioned that I ran into a woman in 2004 whose husband had had a kidney transplant, but I want to mention that again, because we don't talk about the life of the recipient. And his health was so bad. His immune system was being destroyed by the anti-rejection drugs. He felt horrible. He did die, okay? But in the process, before he died, he was exploring suing Ohio State University, she told us, because he felt he had not been given full disclosure of what his life would be like after the fact. Now, I haven't seen her since then, so I can't really follow up on the story, but if you know anyone who's received these organs, I mean, I don't, that was the only, as close as I got to knowing anyone who's received an organ, it'd be nice to talk to them and ask about the quality of their life, ask how they feel about it. I would think to have an immune system, to have one infection after another, would be kind of miserable. It doesn't, to me, sound like a life that's very rewarding. I ran into an article when I did a search this week, too, and this article is on the Harvard Gazette. It was published July 24, 2008. And the name of the article is 50 Years After Harvard's Panel's Report, Irreversible Coma Remains the Sphere of Controversy. I'm going to put a link up so that people can read this article. And if you want to do your own search, you might find it if you put in the Harvard Gazette - death is universal but sometimes murky. What they did is they interviewed, an ethicist, a Harvard ethicist. To me, that's an oxymoron. When I look at all this stuff that comes out of Harvard, I was like, a Harvard ethicist. Oh, my gosh. I don't think there is such a thing. But anyway, he is writing, they're interviewing him. He is actually referring to the Yahi Mekath, or Yahi, that Dr. Byrne was talking about, and explaining, you know, how that was controversial. Now, remember, this is an ethicist. And he got published in the Journal of American Medical Association. He is supporting the current concept of brain death, but he does explain the history, and he tells it exactly the same way Dr. Byrne did. However, he is justifying it, okay? And in my opinion, this article is worthless. I don't care what an ethicist thinks. What I care is what that group of neurosurgeons and neurologists think. What I want to know, how many people did they see who had brain injury followed by coma who eventually recovered? That's what I want to know. And what happened to that golden hour that Brandon Jones was entitled to, that neurosurgeon referred to? What happened to that golden hour, that hour which everything's critical, and that's when you move in aggressively to save the life? Where was the neurosurgeon consultant? Why wasn't that done? I will be happy to take callers. Just to remind you, though, there's nothing wrong. Well, I'll remind you when we come back. Stay tuned.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we're back. We have some callers, but I wanted to sum up to make sure that all the listeners are clear on how to escape, how to get out of this mess. If you have, or your loved ones have signed up to be an organ donor, look at the driver's license. I believe in all 50 states, there's going to be a little symbol on the driver's license. When the ambulance picks you up or your loved one up, they're going to look at the driver's license to identify them. They will see that symbol. I have instructed my family members to take a permanent marker and write it small, put no, write it on top of the driver's license, put no. If they don't like it, then you'll have to go get a new one, but you want it there. So if they go to identify you and look at that driver's license, they don't have to go through your wallet. They're going to know right away that this is not an organ donor. And right away, they're going to know the treatment. As Paul Byrne said, if it's an organ donor, they start the process right then. If it's not an organ donor, they start the treatment right then. Okay? In addition, folks, be safe. Better to be safe than sorry. Go to your state and look up, if it's Oregon, look up Oregon's donor registry. Find out how you get to that registry, how you contact them to get your name removed. You want off the registry, because The procurement people, once they're notified, the first thing they do is look to see if your name is on that registry. If your name is not on the registry, I don't think they even show up, okay? So you will be left with whomever's dealing with the emergency trying to hopefully take that golden hour and work towards your recovery. Okay, we have my former co-host, Ingrid Castle, calling in, and she had some comments that she'd like to make. Good evening, Ingrid.
Hi. Really, I'm so glad you did the show because it's a really important topic to me, and it's come up for me recently even because I just had a renewal with a friend who got a kidney transplant, and I was horrified because this is a guy that knows a lot about health, and I was like, how did it happen to him? And somehow, you know, kidney dialysis, and which kills your kidneys. I mean, you know, once you start on kidney dialysis, I want everyone to know that starts killing your, shutting down your kidneys. So once, you know, you do a couple years of that, and the next place is a kidney transplant. So you need to get off the dialysis and work on reviving your kidneys. But there, you know, that's a whole thing to learn about natural healing, which I am, made it my mission to learn a lot about that, you know. But yeah. Oh my gosh, I just wanted to say, in our state, and I think it's probably likely happening in all 50 states, we're in the organ transplant business because, you know, all the states are corporations and they're looking at making money, right? So I wasn't even made aware that we were going to enter, our state was going to enter, and I'm in Idaho, into that business until we were working against a bill on the vaccine front. So I'm listening in, you know, remotely on my computer to the hearing, and I hear that they're introducing this bill to set up this whole, you know, for the state literally to be in the organ transplant business. And our senator that was working on, she was supposed to co-sponsor our bill, or sponsor our bill anyway. She kind of reneged on us. But anyhow, she at least asked the question, well, how do they determine whether someone's dead or alive and all that stuff? She started trying to question it. And the chair of the committee just shut her down and said, they basically it's all copacetic and they know what they're doing, and blah, 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 and basically never answered her question, that they are absolutely have to be kept alive to harvest the organs. And I don't know, you remember the shaken baby syndrome case, Alan Yurko? There's a real famous case. Well, that's what really woke us all up back in 2004. We were all in Florida, a whole bunch of activists, and testimony, he had two different times of death, the little baby. Right. Two different times of death. There was one, and they come in the middle of the night. They revive the baby long enough to and this was a super sickly kid. So you can imagine a baby's organs being transplanted from a super sickly kid into another kid. I mean, not only the rejection rate, but you don't want diseased tissue. You know, I mean, your genetic code is so unique to you, which is why they have to do all these drugs for rejection. Right. So my friend, I'm just going to say his first name, Peter, he found me because I'm selling ECACT, and he's looking for things to, because a lot of these drugs are so carcinogenic, even the rejection drugs, and he's and we're around carcinogens all the time, so he wanted to take something to, you know, keep him alive, you know, other than, you know, because his diet is so limited. Everything is so limited. You're not allowed to take this. You can't take that. Vitamin C. I mean, it's just on and on. All these things that are healthy for you, you have to be careful because it could screw up, the rejection rate of the organ transplant itself because it's not your organ. And when they first started doing this,
yeah, we talked about that last week, I think, that you're always going to have rejection. Your body's going, wait a minute, this isn't you, you know, and this isn't you.
Right.
So I do think, however, that before people, you know, even consider having a transplant, The very first thing I want listeners to do is to make sure they're off that list. We have to shut them down because they're not going to behave in an ethical way. They've already proven that way too many times.
Right.
When you talk about that baby, I think that's why the Dr. Paul Byrne got involved, because he's a neonatologist and he was seeing this in infants, and yes, it shocked him. And then he started looking. He's still a neonatologist. He started looking closer, and he just couldn't believe what was going on. And it is.
Yeah.
And this legislation that you're talking about, the reason, Ingrid, I don't know if you heard the show last week, but the reason it's already passed in 48 states is this legislation called the Revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act was not written by the legislators. They're not encouraged to question or challenge it. It was written by the UCC lawyers. They put it together in a package. Then they get their people to go into every state and peddle it. There's no question about brain death in the legislative process. They want them to pass the rules and the regulations so that the organ procurement industry is in compliance with how to do this, how to ensure you've got permission, blah, blah, blah. So I am not even remotely surprised that they would not allow her to raise any questions about the term brain death. I looked at all the material in the Ohio statute. I read every page of it. It's already passed here in Ohio. It passed in 2008. It was implemented in 2009. There's no questions. There's no room for questioning the term brain death.
Well, this is what's really creepy to me, is they're actually, we had two bills this last session that just sailed through, even though we tried to tell people these are bad bills. And it's all about educating at the high school and college level. And then the other one was to lower the age of consent, it could be parental consent, from 16 to 15. So a 15-year-old kid to be an organ donor with parental consent. So there's all of this push to get ever younger children involved in giving consent, as long as the parents say it's okay for organ donation.
Now wait.
The education, of course, is not it's indoctrination.
It is indoctrination, but the parent can deny it. When the time comes, the parent can say no. I mean, I looked at what they recommended out of this god-awful group of lawyers who wrote this garbage, and they did, for unemancipated, they allowed the parents to have the final say. So that even if the child doesn't know what he's doing and he says yes at the license bureau, the parent can stop it, as long as the child is not emancipated. The problem is, of course, if you've got a 21-year-old who says it and it's on his driver's license and you see this thing happening in front of your face, that's when, unless he gave you power of medical attorney, you will not be able to stop it. So people understanding how they wrote this and how they made it much more difficult but not impossible to stop the transplantation is pretty important. That's why we've been trying to understand. You can stop it. You just have to know how.
Yeah, because certainly you're not getting any cut of the huge amounts of money they charge people for a transplant. And I had a friend who was talked in by her sister to get a lung transplant after her lungs were shot from toxic carpet. You know, they installed this toxic carpet in her workplace, and it just totally screwed up her lungs. So she gets this lung transplant, and I had moved away by the time. When I found out, I was horrified. I was really upset. And, of course, her quality of life was totally diminished, and she died, you know, probably 5 years later.
Yes.
There's no organ transplant person that ever lives beyond, you know, 5 or 10 years. I mean, you know, I don't even know anyone that lives very long once they have an organ transplant. Do you know anyone that lives very long?
No, and I've got other callers.
It's a hot topic. It's a way hot topic. I thank you. Bye.
Okay,
I really
bye.
Appreciate the show. Thanks, sweetie. Bye.
And Ken told me Deanna is listening. Hello, Deanna. You inspired me to do this second show on this after listening to the great interview you did, and I'm so glad that we're covering it. I'm trying to cover a little more, maybe trying to get into the legal aspect, trying to help people understand that Dr. Burns' little thing, pocket wallet thing that he wants you to carry, not a bad idea. You can still do that. Still a good idea. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, get your name off that donor registry and mark over that little emblem on your driver's license, because if you don't, the squad who picks you up may start you down the wrong path. They may not find that thing in your license. You want to make sure everywhere they look to see if you're an organ donor, they're going to find out you said no. That's all I'm saying. I hope to help people get out of this, because I think they're innocently, with good intentions, they're getting into it, and they have no idea what a can of worms it is or how dangerous it is. Okay, we have John from Texas. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, you got me in a quandary.
Okay.
I'm in line for a heart transplant, but I haven't had, and I've listened to you for years, so I know all about you, and I agree with you, what you say about alternative medicine, blah, 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 and we'll go from there. My heart just gave out on me, and I have congestive heart failure. I don't know if that's the same thing your relative had. I heard you talk about your relative about a year and a half ago.
Yes, he has congestive heart failure, and it's not getting any worse. And believe it or not, we're trying Extendivite.
Well, I tried it, and nothing happened.
How long?
I tried everything. A couple of months.
Oh, no,
and
you need
I tried everything.
Well, I would go much longer than that. I think this is a whole new, in other words, you need to continue doing alternatives for the rest of your life. That's the plan in our world. Is this isn't going to stop for a couple months. This is going to go on. And other methods, we just keep doing research. I have found all kinds of things on these topics of alternatives. Even one night I call, I don't know if you recall, I was putting the call out for stem cell therapy, and people were talking about that. I mean, all kinds of options that won't destroy your immune system.
Uh-huh.
This is what we're doing. I wouldn't even think about, oh my gosh, the pain is horrible. You know, it's such a dramatic thing. I can't believe
that
they
give you all those drugs.
Yeah, and you'll be on those drugs. You'll be all kinds of other drugs as well. I just don't think we should give up on alternatives, John.
Because
you know what? We're trying to recover it. You know, we're trying to recover. And if they had spent, and this I think that a lot of people would agree with me, instead of spending all that money on extracting organs and shipping them all over the country and setting up fancy transplant teams, if all that money was spent on stem cell, like that one clinic in Mexico, they use your own cells. If more money was spent on stem cell and recovering your organ that was designed for you, I have to wonder how far we'd be along. What do you think, John?
Yeah. Well, something I have to talk to my wife about.
Yeah. Well, don't give up on alternatives. I mean, while you're thinking, you could still be...
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, because you could still be aggressively seeking alternatives.
Yeah.
While you're making your decision. And wouldn't it be nice if you woke up in a while and started feeling better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Al. I just wanted to call in, and I wanted to get your feedback.
Well, I'm glad you did. And I wish you the best. Absolutely wish you the best, and I'm glad you called in. I will put you in my good book. Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Uh-huh. Well, we may have time for one more. Fred can make a couple comments because it's we're almost done for tonight, and we're not going to miss the imaging tonight. We want to do that. So, Fred, if you could talk quickly because we're almost out of time.
For the benefit of John, check out Sacred Seven Mushrooms. Sacred Seven Mushrooms.
Great.
On, let's see, Amazon. And that's pursuant to a brilliant PhD biochemist instructor I had at the University of Michigan by the name of Schindler. And when I was pre-med, it was called Medical Botany for a whole semester. Had a textbook by that title. Right. And so when 2009 September came around and I knew I was failing, I looked into it. I got some of these medicinal therapeutic mushrooms not knowing what was going to happen, but I had a cardiac failure event at 3:30 in the morning. And all I had time to do was chuck a few capsules, start chewing them, and abracadabra, the shake and bake, ceased. My heart started pumping just fine.
Well, maybe you call in next week and finish that story. Tonight, folks, back next week.
Tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing,
Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.